Welcome into the Future Sox Roundup. My name is Elijah Evans. I have got my wonderful co-host Jeff Cohen back after his 1 week hiatus last week. And we are very excited to talk about baseball season. Baseball is back. The White Sox kicked off play this past week. The Charlotte Knights, Jeff's team in AAA, also kicked off this week. Before you know it, Birmingham starts this coming Friday. So we've got a lot of baseball to talk about for the first time on this podcast with Jeff and I. You're going to hear us actually talk about baseball games, not just spring training games and not just, you know, off-season stuff, but, you know, games that count towards the record of our teams. So it's pretty exciting time. You know, it hasn't been the greatest start for the White Sox organization, but regardless, baseball's back and we're excited to talk all about it. So first off the standings, we're going to do this on the roundup every week, kind of talk about the standings at each level of, you know, the White Sox affiliates. We've only got two teams that have started so far. The White Sox after today are 0-4, unfortunately. I will preface that by saying, you know, three very close games against Detroit this weekend, not 0-4. In my opinion, doesn't really resemble how they've played so far. And then the Charlotte Knights in their first series went 1-2 against the Memphis Redbirds. So, you know, overall, not the best start, but pretty solid and good to just get back on the field and see games. So first of all, Jeff, how you doing? How's everything been?
Everything's good. I might sound a little different tonight. It's allergy season here in Charlotte. The pollen's pretty thick. But otherwise, it's pretty exciting. You know, got on the field last week for media day with the Knights, and it's just fun. It's fun to get back.
Yeah. How is everything just, you know, getting settled into the season, right? Like, what was that first, you know, first weekend just being getting into the baseball season in Charlotte, you know?
Well, you know, I was interested to, I wanted to see some of the lineups when they were on the road to see just who was sitting and who was starting at various positions, you know, who the starters were going to be. You know, Jake Woodford was the starter in the first game. That kind of caught me off guard, though he did really well. But, you know, it was just cool media day to go, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, like, seems like, you know, Sosa and Colas and Remillard and Mark Payton. You know, I know these guys, you know, so it was good to see them again and then meet some of the new guys, you know, talk to Jonathan Cannon a little bit, Zach Deloach, and of course, everybody interviewed Colson. Yeah. So.
Of course, yeah. So we'll start a little bit with the White Sox. I think we're going to kind of go down in terms of the levels right now. We'll start with just a brief talk about the White Sox. I know James and Ian are going to have you covered with everything our listeners want to know about the White Sox opening weekend, but we'll briefly touch on it. I'm not sure how many games you watch, Jeff, but I was able to watch a few of them this weekend. You know, in my opinion, I'm not going to talk much about today. Today's game against the Braves was an ugly one. It's just the best team in baseball at the end of the day. But the weekend series against Detroit, to me, was a pretty solid series. I know getting swept by a divisional rival does not look good to start the season. But all things considered, I saw a lot of positives to take away from the weekend with the White Sox and a lot of things that I think obviously can be improved upon. But some things that give me hope in certain players and certain situations within the roster. First thing I want to talk about is Garrett Crochet. I mean, that was a heck of an opening day start. First career start. The guy goes 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. Just really a great, great outing from Crochet. No walks. The cutter that he's added has really changed the way he pitches. He's able to mix that in with his kind of more straight fastball. He's sitting upper 90s with the fastball. The slider is just deadly. And he just looks like he's controlling the zone in a way that we've never seen from Garrett Crochet, even better than, you know, his first rookie season as a reliever when he was really good. This is a different pitcher we're seeing right now. And this is a guy who's clearly fully locked in and ready to be a major league starting pitcher. What did you kind of see from Crochet, Jeff?
No, I agree. It was a bold assignment to give him a start. And he has said all along he wants to be a starter. And, man, he showed why. That was pretty cool.
Pretty awesome game.
Of, you know, how often, if he can get out there every fifth day and how many innings he can get under his belt.
And he's supposed to throw tomorrow. So, you know, it looks like he's going to be the every fifth day starter. So I, you know, I don't want to put too much stock into one start, right? But this is a guy who like Garrett Crochet could be a serious part of this rotation going forward. And that's something that if that's the only takeaway from this weekend, that's already a huge win from the first weekend of baseball. And beyond that, there's some other guys who showed some stuff. Corey Lee went deep in his only game. I think that's worth noting. You know, there's a guy who is, and only on the roster right now because Max Stassi had a late spring training kind of soreness injury, where Corey Lee now got the backup job behind Maldonado to start the season. And he had a great spring. He honestly looked like the best catcher in camp throughout the spring, and then proceeded to hit a home run in his first game of the season. So it's interesting to see. Corey Lee's a guy that I know you got to see him a little in Charlotte last year. I wouldn't count him out for being, you know, a backup MLB level catcher, right?
Well, right. And, you know, once Maldonado and Stassi move on, you know, they're two open positions, if one of them is going to be Cuero. So,
yeah, exactly. And then
Lee's got the lead on that second spot.
Exactly. I totally agree. And then beyond that, another guy, a new guy of note, Braden Shoemake, you know, started in two games of the four games so far. He started two of them, 3-for-8 with a home run, a stolen base as well. I think he looked good in the field. He played second one game, he played short the other game. So I kind of think that this team views, you know, DeJong, Lopez and Shoemake as more of a three-man middle infield rotation, as opposed to what I think most people thought was going to be DeJong starting, Lopez starting and Shoemake backing them up. I don't really think it's that. I think there's all three of them are capable of playing short and second. And I think all three of them are going to get reps on a fairly regular basis. It seems to me like they're in a really three-way platoon more than a two starters and Shoemake off the bench, right?
I think you're right. Now, short term, I suspect you saw the news today that Eloy's probably going on the IL and Lenin Sosa is up. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. See if they throw him into the mix as well.
Yeah, so then does that mean, you know, maybe Sosa just DHs sometimes? Because I don't think or Shoemake maybe DHs? Because, I mean, but Shoemake is a great defender too. That's the thing. I mean, maybe DeJong gets some reps because he's an older guy compared to those younger guys at DH. So I'm interested to see what that looks like because it seems like Sheets would be the obvious DH. But then if you already have three middle infielders, what is Sosa doing on the roster? So I don't quite get that move. I'm curious to see when it becomes official, kind of what the logic is there. Beyond that, not a ton with the offense of note. The offense, I mean, Luis Robert, two home runs. That's Luis Robert, right? That's no surprise in one game too. I mean, that was just that was a pretty awesome game from him. And then beyond that, you know, those are not a bunch of things of note on the offensive side of things. You know, on the other side, right, Crochet was great. Eric Fetty, I thought, pitched pretty well. I know the line didn't look amazing, but his first White Sox start, you know, I think overall he was missing some spots and still was able to throw 4 2/3. You know, it was solid, right? He gave up two home runs. He kind of just missed a few pitches, but 7 strikeouts overall, the stuff looked there. So that was another guy who's new and looked solid. Beyond that, I think, you know, I mentioned this before, Jordan Leisure's debut was awesome. It was really fun to see him make his debut and then proceed to make his second appearance today, which was another solid one for him. So really cool to see Leisure kind of taking his next step. I loved doing that interview with him a few weeks ago. If anybody hasn't checked that one out, it was with him and Nick Mastrini. It was awesome. Leisure's a guy that's super easy to root for, you know, no prospect pedigree coming into baseball, and then just has developed into a really heck of a pitcher and someone that I think is going to be a key part of the bullpen. The White Sox bullpen in general struggled. Mike Soroka also struggled a bit in his first start with the team. Chris Flexen was okay early in the game today and then got hit around a little bit by the Braves. But again, it's the Braves. I'm not putting too much into that. So, you know, three close games, right? Three one-run losses, Jeff. It's not something in the opening weekend that I'm going to look at and say that was a terrible series. I know 0-4 does not feel good, but there were some things that were positive, I would say. Not everything, but there was some.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Luis Robert being Luis Robert. Those were some mammoth blasts he hit this week.
That was great to see.
So that's always fun to watch. Yeah. You know, in terms of Sosa's call-up, there are only four guys in Charlotte, I think, who are not pitchers who are on the 40-man. And that's assuming Popeye. That includes Popeye, wherever he is. The other guys are Deloach and Oscar Colas, so... You know, it's either Sosa or Colas, I imagine.
Yeah, it does seem like it. Yeah, and Colas, we're going to get to that in a second. We talk about the Knights, but Colas off to a great start. So I'm curious to see where the roster goes. Another guy I want to mention for the White Sox is Michael Kopech. Looked really good. Looks really good in the bullpen. A little bit of command issues his first start. Great in it, or his first relief appearance. Great in his second one. He looks like a reliever. I get it. I know why there was so much effort to continue to try and see what he was as a starter. But ultimately, the move this spring was the right one, in my opinion. I've been saying it for a long time that it's just fits him better right now. That doesn't mean he can never try and be a starter again if he really wants to be. But there's value in really good relievers. And I think Michael Kopech, when you look at the way he pitches and the way he's throwing right now, the velo's up, the command is up. He looks like he's able to just really go for it in these short spurts and these singular innings, you know, one or one and a half innings here and there, right? That's a guy who I think him and Jordan Leisure are going to be, you know, the back end guys pretty soon for this team. Brebbia also has been good and will probably continue to get significant, you know, big time spots. But the Kopech and Leisure, two guys that have upside to be really stars in the bullpen. So overall, not too bad. I'm excited for this week. I think we just got news recently that Mike Clevinger is signing with the team. I'm not sure if you saw that. That just came out about an hour ago. So, it doesn't surprise me. It would frustrate me if that means Nick Mastrini doesn't get a chance to be in the rotation. I don't know exactly what this is going to look like. We're going to wait for more clarity. We'll probably dive into that next week on the podcast. But, you know, there's some interesting stuff going on. I encourage people to be patient and to take your time and to not get too frustrated by the results right now, because baseball's a long season, right? Right, Jeff? You've been there. You've been watching Charlotte. It's a long, long season, and we've got a lot of baseball to play. But enough of that stuff. We talk prospects here on the Future Sox Roundup. So let's get into Charlotte. I'll just kick it to you, Jeff. You know, you follow the Knights closely. Obviously, this first series was away. They lost the first two games and were able to come back and win a pretty strong game yesterday. What are kind of the initial takeaways and just your thoughts on the roster for Charlotte heading into this season?
Well, we had media day last Thursday, a chance to talk to the players and catch up with Jersh and, just kind of hang out with the guys, watch them take their first batting practice. And of course, you know, the guy you got to start any conversation with is about Colson. Were you surprised by his, what I think is an aggressive assignment to Charlotte?
I was a little surprised, but I can't say I was shocked, to be honest. I think when you watch him, in watching him in spring training and talking to him this year, this is a guy who himself and from an organizational perspective is in the last phase of his development. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can see that he is preparing to be a Major League Baseball player, and you can see that the organization is preparing for him to be a Major League Baseball player. So this is a guy that I really think, you know, it's an aggressive assignment for sure, because he missed a lot of last season and he didn't get a full season in Birmingham. It's aggressive. I think he can handle it. I really do. I think from a personal perspective, I think he has the ability to handle it. And it's just going to come down to how he plays and how he's able to execute his game and then staying healthy and really just getting reps under his belt.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second part of that question is, you know, as you and I have talked about before, the White Sox tend not to keep their top prospects in Charlotte too long, but maybe Colson's the exception. Maybe he doesn't go up until mid-year.
Yeah,
what do you think this timeline is?
Even with him being in Charlotte, I hope it's not rushed. I don't think there's a need to, especially when A, the team's not going to be winning, and B, you've got guys like Shoemake and like Lenin Sosa and like potentially Jose Rodriguez who are at least worth seeing what they have and allows for the White Sox to be a little more patient with Colson than they might be in another situation. But you're right. They don't keep guys in Charlotte that long. And there's a world where Colson just gets hot and goes on a month-long streak of just hitting, you know, 300 and just mashing and just doing everything that he does well and walking a ton and being the great hitter that we know he can be. So I could see it being sooner, but I still think around July seems about right. I think the All-Star break seems like an appropriate time. I don't see a reason to push it further than that. It's not that he couldn't come up and be okay, but we don't want him to be okay, right? Like at the end of the day, like you don't want to put too much pressure on the guy, but he's the top prospect in the system by a mile. And he's a guy that is expected to be a star. So give him the time he needs. Don't rush him. Let him see some, you know, major league quality pitching and go from there, right? So I think post All-Star break seems appropriate to me right now.
That's going to be great. Hopefully, knock on wood, having him in Charlotte for half a year healthy. Yeah. That's
the goal,
going to
right?
be a blast to watch.
Definitely. Beyond Colson, who are kind of some of the other guys of note on the roster that you're kind of really keying in on heading into the season?
Well, let me say this about the roster. As we know, AAA teams tend to be taxi squads for major league teams. And to some degree, that's the case again this year. But as we know, the White Sox really are not going to be contending this year. And so as a result, I know we have more legitimate prospects playing in Charlotte now than any time I have covered the Knights. And so that's always a lot of fun. Yeah, you know, we've got a handful of veterans, and we'll always have that. But, you know, we've got certainly Colson and Hackenberg. I would still say, you know, Sosa and Colas are prospects, and Jose Rodriguez, if he ends up here. Same thing on the pitching staff. You know, we've got Freelander Baroa. That's going to be interesting to see if they can harness his control. Yeah. Zach Deloach, Jonathan Cannon. You know, there are a lot younger arms, a lot younger players on this roster than I've seen in a while. So that's really exciting and really encouraging, because not only does it mean that, hey, the White Sox aren't really as preoccupied with contending, but it also obviously means that the farm system is deeper, and especially in the upper levels.
That's 100% the truth. And we've said that all offseason, right? Like, it's not the same system it was even just last year, right? Like, there is prospects to watch at every level and multiple guys who are expected to be major league pieces at each level of the minor leagues right now. And that's something that we shouldn't take for granted, because it's exciting and it's a good trend in the right direction. You know, what about Oscar Colas? Let's talk about him specifically a little bit. You mentioned a lot of good players there. You know, Colas is someone that when I talked to Pedro at spring training, it was kind of him preaching like, this is a guy who needs to figure out what he needs to play at and how he needs to play the game, because he came in last year and he was super aggressive and super, you know, energetic as a player, and a little bit too much, a little bit too aggressive, a little bit too antsy in ways, played a little too hard almost in some ways. And then Pedro explained that kind of this year, right? Like, he was like, oh, he's a little bit of the opposite now. He's a little too passive. He's kind of eased it back a little. He needs to kind of find that middle ground of what level he needs to play at. I found that kind of interesting and a little bit confusing, to be honest, but I mean, 6-for-11 in his first two games really, really looks like he's not whiffing. I mean, the strikeouts, he looks more patient at the plate from what I saw from him. And he's also just hitting the ball really hard. What is Colas's kind of outlook this season, and what does he need to do to then put himself in a position to maybe get back to the White Sox this year?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's plate discipline. And I actually had a conversation with him last year through a translator. And he said that that the White Sox want him to be more patient at the plate, but he said, I'm an aggressive hitter, you know, so it's really difficult for me to make this transition. But yet, I think, you know, it's early, but, you know, in spring training, the first couple of games, he does seem a bit more patient. Time will tell, but that's really encouraging. And that's also why I think, I think the Knights are going to have a great offense again this year, because I don't know if Lenin Sosa and Oscar Colas and Carlos Perez are going to be major league players, but they're damn good triple A players. You know, yeah. I mean, they'll tear up at this point in their careers. They're in their prime and they can hit triple A pitching. That's not a challenge.
Definitely seems like that. Same thing with Sosa, right? Like, it sounds like he might be heading to Chicago from what we've heard with the Eloy injury today. What have you noticed from him as well this first few games? I mean, another guy, right? He hit 5 for 12 in his first three games, you know, two strikeouts, but not too bad. And generally just hitting the ball hard, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to talking to both of them with Oscar, just to talk about specifically plate discipline and if it's becoming easier for him. And then with Sosa, just to find out what he thinks what the White Sox have told him that they want him to work on in particular.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something to consider and think about going forward. You know, another guy that I'm kind of curious to see what happens. I'm hoping Adam Hackenberg gets even more reps. It's a tough situation with the roster, because you've got Chucky Robinson, who's a veteran and kind of that depth veteran guy. You've got Carlos Perez, who's been around. He's playing more first base, it seems like, than catching these days because of the roster. But then you've got Hackenberg, who's kind of technically, you know, the third catcher, but also by far the most intriguing catcher of the three, right? He was a former pretty highly regarded prospect. He hasn't had the best go at things the last few years. You know, his one start, though, this is in this season so far on Saturday, he went and hit a home run. He had a good game, you know, two hits and one being a home run. So I think I would like to see Hackenberg get at least 50% of catching reps maybe. What do you think about him kind of this season on the Knights?
I agree. That home run he hit, excuse me, it was over the right center field wall. It was a legitimate home run. Oscar hit one in the same game, and it was just, you know, a pull shot right down the line. But Hackenberg knocked the hell out of the ball. Now, you mentioned Carlos Perez. They list him as an infielder. He played first base, and he didn't catch any of those three games. So I'm curious if he catches at all in this six-game series when they start their homestand on Tuesday. Maybe they don't see him. Maybe they feel like they've got enough catching depth and they want to try him at first.
Sure.
In which case, Hackenberg would get half the reps here in Charlotte.
Right. That would be optimal. I think I would like to see Hackenberg get more reps, because that's a guy who I still think, you know, he could still be another guy that competes for that number two catching spot in 2025, 2026, whatever that might be. So it'd be nice to get him some more reps and really see what he can bring to the table. On the other side of the ball, pitching wise, who are some of the guys that, obviously you mentioned Woodford, who made that first start and looked really good. He seems to be one of the guys who, you know, would be a pretty obvious injury replacement come for the White Sox at some point this season. He has major league experience. He looks good. He's been good all spring. Who are some other pitchers that you saw throw for the Knights this year and that are kind of worth keeping an eye on moving forward for the rest of the season?
Well, the two guys at the top of the list are two younger pitchers, Jonathan Cannon and Johan Dominguez. Again, I want to ask you, were you surprised with Cannon's assignment? You know, he last year he dominated in high A, but he struggled a bit in double A. And yet,
yeah,
maybe it was because he had such a good spring that they decided to let him start the season in Charlotte.
That one I was a lot more surprised with than the Colson one, actually, because I talked to Cannon and he sounded really – I think he's made a lot of adjustments to his pitching this offseason that are really making the team confident in his ability to become a starting pitcher and do it soon. But I was kind of surprised because Birmingham was rough for him last year, right? Like you mentioned, right? Like he was really good in Winston, but Birmingham, he struggled. And he had a hard time kind of figuring out how to pitch to some of those hitters that were a little bit more advanced, made him work a little bit more, forced him to throw his pitches in spots he didn't necessarily want to throw them sometimes. So I think Cannon's a guy that I like it. I think he's going to have a shot, but I don't necessarily know if he's going to succeed right away in Charlotte because he has adjusted his pitching arsenal, right? This is a guy who's kind of honed in on four pitches after throwing six last year. So he has a different kind of mix than he did last year. And he really is focused on kind of taking his current stuff and narrowing in on the way he pitches. And narrowing in on the way you pitch is an important factor for some young guys, but doing it at a level where you're facing guys who have pitched, who have, you know, major league level hitters, right? A lot of guys in Burton AAA are guys that have played in the majors. That's not an easy task for a guy like Cannon to be kind of his first season with a new game plan per se pitching against guys who have professional experience. So I think he may struggle a bit early on, but at the same time, I'm really excited to watch him against some high level hitting.
Well, his first outing this week, I think he probably is likely to pitch Tuesday or Wednesday. He and Dominguez, I don't know what the order is, but they're going to be going up against
a
lineup that includes a lot of great hitters starting, you know, with Jackson Holliday and tons of other big time prospects. So
yeah,
that's as a tough assignment as he's going to have all summer in Charlotte.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like Dominguez is slated for Tuesday, which means I assume Cannon would be the Wednesday starter probably. Mm-hmm. So, you know, two guys that are worth. What about Dominguez? I know we just talked Cannon, but Dominguez is a guy that's interesting because he was with the team in big league spring training early on. Same thing as Cannon, right? And has some experience, but also has yet to find like consistent success, I would say. So what do you think about kind of him and just where he's at this season?
Well, yeah, 2 years ago, you know, he came up and he had three great starts and then he got hurt and had Tommy John. Last year is very inconsistent, but it's his, you know, first season back from TJ. So,
yeah. You
know, I kind of look at it as a clean slate, year two of TJ, when guys typically perform much better and are much more consistent. So that's what I'm looking for and hoping for from him this year, because he was on the cusp of doing some potentially really great things before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the three starts in 2022 to start the season, between one in Birmingham and then two in Charlotte, right? A combined 1.42 ERA across those three starts in his, you know, when he was at the time, right? He was only 20, he's probably 26, 25, 26, right? So, you know, he's an older guy. I don't think he qualifies as necessarily a prospect to some degree, but at the same time, right? Like, he was really good. So I think you're right. This year is a clean slate for him. He's going to get a chance. And it's another guy who could fill in with the White Sox if they need him. If he's pitching well, like he did back then, you know, he could be a fill in for the White Sox at some point this season.
Yeah.
Anybody else, you know, go ahead.
Well, I mentioned that, you know, Cannon and Dominguez are two guys, but there's a third young arm, and that's Jared Schuster. And he had a rough outing his first go, but I'd be curious to see, you know, how they can get him going, if they can get him going, and what he's able to do. So I think, you know, the staff has got, you know, these three young arms in the rotation, and then they're going to fill it with some veterans. They had Jake Woodford, who, man, he actually looked the best of any of our pitchers this weekend. And then Chad Kuhl, another veteran. But, you know, they need those veterans for the depth for either the major league or Charlotte itself. And then there's also Tukey. Tukey Toussaint is there. And, you know, he made, 15 starts or something last year for the White Sox.
Right.
So, and that's exciting. It's a little more depth than we normally have in Charlotte. Of course, you know, guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get called up. But the good news is there's a wave of really exciting arms, as we've talked about in Birmingham, you know.
Definitely.
With Eater and all those guys. So
and the two new guys. So then flipping over to the bullpen, you know, usually minor league bullpens, right, you've got one or two guys who are like the guys you're projecting. And for the most part, a lot of the guys in the bullpen are former starters or pitchers that are kind of just trying to keep their careers alive. The Knights bullpen has got some fun pieces, and it's actually a group of guys that I think there's four guys that I kind of circle that are players who I think you really are looking at as potentially significant big league bullpen pieces in the future. You know, a guy like Prelander Baroa was a big acquisition this offseason. Bailey Horn was brought back this offseason, who was a former draft pick of the White Sox, traded to the Cubs, and then brought back this offseason, who has just got some good stuff. And then, you know, two, Alex Spies was another guy brought in, right? And then Frazier Ellard is an in-house guy who I think was really impressive to me last year and is going to get a chance to kind of move quickly now, considering he's an older prospect. So there's four guys at least of those four that I kind of am watching in the bullpen, which is rare to see a minor league bullpen with many guys of interest, right? So what about the Knights bullpen?
Well, you're right. It is an interesting mix of players. They had two veterans. They have Justin Anderson and Jake Cousins, but they just traded Cousins, yesterday or today?
Yeah.
So the veterans, more or less, are a couple of guys who were there last year, Lane Ramsey, Nicholas Padilla, and Sammy Peralta. And then, as you said, then you've got those four guys, Baroa, Horn, Ellard, and Spies. Baroa had a rough outing his first time out, a really rough one, but you know, we know what the ceiling is, so we'll see how the season unfolds. Alex Spies, when I started researching him, I was blown away by his minor league stats. They were excellent.
Yeah, that's a guy who's of note, I think, right? He has had an up and down career. He took some time away from baseball in 2022. But then, you know, last year, you look at a guy who was pretty dominant, especially in Double-A. He was untouchable in Double-A last season. In 2023, he made 23 appearances in Double-A, had a 0.64 ERA, Jeff. That's pretty crazy. So, you know, he got up to Triple-A. He struggled a little more and is someone who's going to take a little time. But, right, like, if those are the Double-A numbers, right, you give him this year in Triple-A and you see what happens, because he's proven that he's better than, you know, the lower levels of the minor leagues, right? And now is the time where you can say, hey, you're in Triple-A, right? You've got a shot at the big league bullpen. The White Sox bullpen, as we know, has, you know, four or five veteran guys that could be either traded or let go at some point throughout the season, right? So when those players on the White Sox roster are ultimately either moved or let go, there's going to be some bullpen spots to fill at some point this season. And all of these young guys are going to have a shot if they perform well. So I like Spies too. And then Ellard, what about Ellard too?
I was going to ask you about him. I know he's a guy that you've been really excited about and interested. Yeah.
Jeff just dropped out there for a second, but I'll talk a little Frazier Ellard right now while we wait for him to get back in. So Frazier Ellard is a guy that, you know, I think the stuff is there, right? The results haven't necessarily been there, but the stuff is all completely there. So I just kept going with Ellard there, Jeff, for a minute, but, you know, he's a guy that has stuff. That's what I was just saying. The stuff is there. The results have not been there, but it's a big arm. It's a big left-handed arm, and it's the type of stuff that you could see just kind of clicking. And I don't think it's clicked yet, but I think because he got a lot of experience in Birmingham last year, he was there for a while. He got the spring training experience this year. He's 26 years old already, right? So this is a guy where you kind of just see what the stuff does, and you let it try to play. And if he gets hit around a little, okay, what, you know, sure, right? It's like, it's fine. He's 26. You're giving him a shot. There's also a chance that the stuff just kind of starts to work, and then he's a great reliever and he ends up making it to Chicago later this year because he has the stuff to do that. So, you know, we haven't seen the results yet, but I'm really excited to see what he gets to do against this level of pitching, just because I know he has the ability in him to be one of the better pitchers on this roster, to be honest.
Right. And I think it's important to note which of the arms in the bullpen are on the 40-man roster, because they're probably the ones who are going up first. Yep. And that includes, out of the bullpen, Baroa, Horn, Peralta, and Spies.
Yeah, so those are three of those four young guys that we just mentioned, right, are guys that are on the 40-man and could easily be, you know, in play at some point, right? I think Horn being a lefty is appealing because the White Sox don't have a ton of, with Crochet being a starter now, there's not a ton of, you know, reliable lefties in the bullpen. And then Baroa, we know the stuff is there, and same spam with Spies, right? We've seen him have success at the lower levels. So all guys that are going to be fun to watch. And I think the Knights team is – you're going to get a better product than you got last year from the Knights. And I'm excited for you to get to tell us about all the things you see there. So especially, you know, everybody make sure you're following Jeff, AAA Jeff on Twitter. He's going to be covering the Knights, watching the Knights, everything Charlotte Knights related this season. So we're going to talk about it here, but also make sure you're following Jeff for plenty of Knights content. Let's any more comments on the Knights before we keep rolling here?
Two more. One is, as we're talking about pitching, we have a new pitching coach in Charlotte, and it's R.C. Lichtenstein, and he's going to be terrific. He's going to be so much fun to work with this year, and I'm going to learn so much from him. That's one of the reasons I do this job, is just to talk baseball with some of the older guys and to learn. And when I met him at Media Day, and I didn't even video him, we just shot the breeze and talked. But we had like a 15-minute conversation. He came from the Rays, and we were talking about the Rays' approach to pitching and a lot of other stuff. And he's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great insights.
That's awesome. Very cool. What's your last
thing? The last thing is just circling back to Zach Galoch. You know, he's here as well. And, you know, I guess the big issue with, you know, we know he's got the power. The big issue is the hit tool. So, you know, we'll be monitoring that as the season goes on.
Yeah. Watching his discipline and kind of trying to turn some of his strikeouts into some longer at bats, trying to kind of, I think, turn his swing into a little bit more line drive oriented. He told me in spring training that he had a tendency to fly out too often. And while he did have a lot of home runs, it also resulted in a lot of pop-ups and deep flyouts. And he wants to kind of focus on line drives a little bit more often. So another guy that's worth watching, because we've seen him, he has the pop. And you saw that with him in the Mariners system last year. Moving on to the Barons then for now, we'll have plenty of baseball to talk about as all these teams keep going, but let's do the Birmingham Barons kick off on Friday, which is exciting. And I think, you know, as we mentioned, there's a lot of players on the Barons who could pretty quickly be on the Knights this year, that are Jeff's going to get to see at a very soon point. So while the roster has not been finalized, there is, you know, the majority of guys that we can kind of infer will be with the Barons based on who's with the Knights, and based on what we saw last season. So starting with the rotation in Birmingham, just to give everybody kind of something to be excited about watching, the rotation in Birmingham is pretty awesome, I have to say. Yeah, and it's something that even last year was an exciting rotation, right? You've got Nastrini now, who's supposed to be potentially with the White Sox. You've got Cannon, who's with the Knights. And you got Mena, who was traded. And then we still have a rotation in Birmingham that's pretty fun to watch. It's headlined, right, by the two Padres, right? The two recent acquisitions and the Dylan Cease deal. It's expected that both Drew Thorpe and Jairo Iriarte are going to be with the Barons. So those are two guys that, you know, immediately slotted into the top 10 prospects in the system and are guys that were excellent last year. And obviously the two huge pieces that got brought back in the Dylan Cease deal. So those two kind of getting brought in and immediately slotting into the top of that Barons rotation. And then behind those guys, you got Jake Eater and Kai Bush, who were trade acquisitions from last deadline that finished the season with Birmingham. We've talked about them a lot. You can go back and listen to us on former roundups. They struggled last year. That's a fact. But the upside is very clear for those two left-handers. And there's a lot to like, or pardon me, not. And there's just generally a ton to like with those guys. You know, I think those two are guys that we were really circling as watching that bounce back season from those guys. And then rounding that out is a guy like Mason Adams, who we've talked about a ton to. And we also, you know, we have him in our top 25 White Sox prospect. I have him in my top 20. So it's a guy who, you know, did nothing but just carve last season between Kannapolis and Winston, and then finished with Birmingham. He made it all the way up to Birmingham last year at the end of the year. Now we'll get a chance to start there this season. So that's a really fun rotation. And that doesn't even include a guy like Yosimar Cousin, a guy, you know, like potentially, I think there's talk that Connor McCullough could potentially be in Birmingham. There's just a variety of players, especially those first five already. And then a lot of guys behind them that are also pretty fun to watch. So the Birmingham rotation, Jeff, is going to be pretty fun. And I have a feeling that any of those five guys that I just mentioned in the top of that rotation could be making their way to Charlotte this year too.
I'm curious. Look into your crystal ball and tell me which one's going to come to Charlotte first.
It's a great question. The safe bet is Drew Thorpe, just because he did get to Double A last year. He was one of the best pitchers in all of the minor leagues last year. And I think the general expectation around him is that he could get to the White Sox this season. So I think that's the safe pick. I don't think it's Iriarte. I think Iriarte, they're going to let cook a little bit. I think he's a guy that is still younger than most of those guys. So I think he'll probably spend the majority of the season, if not all the season, in Birmingham this year. It could be Jake Eater. I think Jake Eater is kind of the biggest wild card in terms of when he will go up. There's a lot for him to prove, but he also has the talent to, you know, string together five great starts and then immediately go to Charlotte. So I think there's a chance it's Eater. I wouldn't put money on Mason Adams, just because I do think, you know, he just got to Birmingham last year. This is only his second professional season, which is crazy. Then again, you know, if he keeps doing what he's doing, you never know, right?
Right.
And then Kai Bush, Kai Bush is someone that I think is going to be in consideration to move to the bullpen in the near future. I think there could be, I've said this before, but I think his profile just might play better out of the bullpen. So if he were to transition to the bullpen, then he could be in Charlotte very quickly. As a starter, I think it would take him a little more time.
And as you and I both know, maybe by the All-Star break, two or three of these guys are in Charlotte. And at the same time, you'll probably have guys like Peyton Paulette, Tyler Schweitzer,
making their way to
who knows who else going from Winston to Birmingham. I mean,
exactly.
You know, we're at that point now where there's one wave after another. It's
100%.
It's very different for the White Sox, and really exciting.
It's completely right. Once a guy like Thorpe is ready to go up, then hey, we've got Peyton Paulette, who's doing great in Winston, head on up to Birmingham, right? Yeah. So it's an exciting pipeline especially with the starting pitchers, I think, more than almost anywhere else. On the offensive side of the ball for Birmingham, right? The first player of note that is it's interesting that Colson was in Charlotte and that Brian Ramos is gonna be in Birmingham, which is interesting. I think Ramos, there's a few more kind of approach things than Colson has to work on. So I think that's kind of where it's at with Ramos, but you know, Brian Ramos is a great player. He's a great hitter. He's improved a lot with the glove at third base. He really looks like someone who can handle third base at the major league level. I wouldn't be shocked to see Ramos in Charlotte by May, honestly. I don't think it's crazy to say that Ramos could spend a month, maybe 2 months in max in Birmingham and make his way to Charlotte, because he's also at that, you know, last stage of his development prior to being considered a major league player. He's a top prospect. He's done really well last season. He got a little bit of a slow start to the year. It was up and down throughout the year, kind of didn't necessarily take a huge step forward, but also didn't take a step backwards. I think if you see his consistency at the plate tick up a little bit more in the first month or two, he could be in Charlotte very soon.
Yeah, it was interesting. I noted that he had more Birmingham at bats than Colson did. And so if you use that logic, you're right. We very well could see him in Charlotte sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely. And then somebody like Tim Elko is another person to mention for sure in terms of a quick riser potentially, right? That's someone who made his way from all the way from Kannapolis to Birmingham in his first professional season. He just destroyed both low A and high A pitching, made it to Birmingham and struggled a little bit in Birmingham. But if he's able to make some adjustments and start hitting the way that he was hitting in Kannapolis and Winston, right? Like he could breeze through Birmingham considering the way that he hits the ball and the power that he possesses, right? The big thing for Elko is approach and chase. He whiffs a lot. He chases a lot, right? Those are things he needs to continue to work on and hone in on. But if he shows improvement in that facet of his game and continues to flash the power like he did, also a guy that at his age could pretty quickly make his way to Charlotte. Those are the two guys that I see being the kind of early potential risers, right? And then, go ahead. No, I was going to say, and then
I'm gonna
beyond
see
that,
the third guy is that you're going to mention.
Okay, third guy. The third guy I would mention, it's got to be Edgar Caro, right? I mean, I think there's some other guys, but I don't – I've got some other ones in my head right now, but I have to go Caro third. Caro is someone who – he'll be in Birmingham for a while just because he is so young.
Right.
But easily the first or second, depending on where you have him and Ramos ranked. I think they're neck and neck in terms of prospect rankings, right? Easily the first or second highest upside, position player on the roster, right? So a ton of potential there. And just someone that I think is going to be a great catcher and looks like the future of the catching position for the White Sox. So if he is able to really, I think, first of all, him being there with all those pitchers I mentioned is a great thing. Getting Caro time to work on his catching while also developing rapport with those pitchers is going to be massive. And then beyond that, it's just more time to just keep learning himself, keep tapping into his power, keep developing behind the plate, working on his game calling, all those different things that he needs to keep doing to get to the next level. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Caro get to Charlotte at the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
And then knocking on the door, the catching position, a guy that could also potentially be in Birmingham is a Michael Turner, who was just simply really, really good in Winston last year, and someone that, he's way older than Caro, right? So if Caro struggles out of the gate a little bit and you see a guy like Caro who's just super young still, if Caro's 20, right? Like Caro's just turning 21 soon. Like he's really young. If Caro struggles a little bit out the gate, Michael Turner as a 24-year-old prospect who was dominant in high A could be in Birmingham and could even potentially jump Caro just because of his age and his experience playing in the SEC and all those other factors, right?
Yeah, I think given their ages – excuse me, you've got a fast track Turner and Elko, but if Elko can just have a league average hit tool, given all that power, can you imagine him in Charlotte? How much fun that would be.
Yeah, he would definitely have some fun in Charlotte, that's for sure. A few more guys on the offensive side I want to mention. I think there's a chance that Brooks Baldwin is in Charlotte this year, or is in Birmingham this year, pardon me, to start the year. And if he's there to start the year, I could also see him being kind of a quick riser. Baldwin's a guy who, it's that super utility type of makeout. I see Baldwin as the player who I don't think he's a true shortstop. I think with Colson and Charlotte, Brooks could potentially get some consistent shortstop reps in Birmingham. But his value is really in the fact that he can play anywhere. He plays infield, he plays outfield, he hits for some power, he has some speed. He's just a really well-rounded, like Swiss Army knife type of player. And those are the types of players that you can see kind of quickly rise through the system, right? 23, so he's not a super old guy, right? He's not at the age of an Elko or a Turner. But he is just a really well-rounded, fun player to keep an eye on. And someone that I think, if he starts in Birmingham, could get to Charlotte this year, even in only his second professional season or full professional season. So
yeah,
another player in the infield there that I definitely am keeping an eye on Brooks Baldwin heading into the year.
Yeah. And again, the black hole in Chicago is at second base. And, they gave, they gave Sosa a shot at it. They gave Romy Gonzalez a shot at it. Popeye will have a shot at it. And Remillard had a shot at it, and now it's Baldwin's turn. Someone is going to grab that position.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to happen, right? And then looking into the outfield, right, Terrell Tatum should open up again as the center fielder in Birmingham. I think, that's a guy who started there last year and made his way up. He didn't start there, but finished the season in Birmingham last year. A nice speed, out defense type of hit player. I think the bat is coming along. It struggled a little in Birmingham. I think he needs to kind of refine some things, but a really good approach. He walks a ton. Once he gets on base with those walks, he can steal with the best of them, plays great defense in the outfield. So Tatum will kind of be the focal point of that outfield. And then Wilfred Varus is another guy that we've both are super high on and have talked about a lot, who's going to be in Birmingham to start the year and is still another player who's super young, was one of the best hitters on the Birmingham roster, if not the best hitter on the Birmingham roster down the stretch last season. So someone who already showed he can hit in Birmingham and really just needs to kind of continue to work on his defense in the outfield. He found a home seemingly in the corner outfield spots last year after moving around the year before. And is someone that, a lot of power, a lot of strength, natural ability to hit the ball, still needs to refine the approach, but will be a key part of this lineup in Birmingham and should spend the majority of the season in Birmingham, just really, if not all the season, really just focusing on his approach and his defense and all those other factors.
And, you know, it's going to be an interesting season in Chicago, given what happens at Birmingham and Charlotte. If there are enough guys, like two or three guys, maybe Michael Turner, Tim Elko, along with Colson, and maybe along with Ramos, who are pushing for major league spots at the deadline, then, you know, the White Sox get aggressive in trying to move some of their major league assets.
That's the other factor, right?
Open up spots for these guys.
And when you're looking at a team that's in a retooling season, right, and prepping for 2025, right, if some of these guys are really performing, it gives you the option. It opens the option to say, hey, we don't need to keep around a few of these veteran players and a few guys whose contracts are up this year or next year. Let's just see what we got in some of these older prospects who might not have the most pedigree, but have shown the ability to just keep performing in the minor leagues. And if they perform in the higher level of the minor leagues, then see what they got, right, at 25, 26 years old especially.
I'm wondering if that's why they picked up Clevinger, just someone to flip at the deadline.
That feels likely, right? Like, I mean, I think that's the same thing with, you could argue it's the same thing with a Flexen or with a, you know, Tim Hill, Steven Wilson. There's plenty of players on the current roster that you look at and you say, hey, they might give you some innings, but they also just might be guys that, you know, just simply are there to fill some innings and then potentially get traded at the deadline. And if you don't trade them, you're not investing a ton of money in them to the point where you can't just, you can also just afford to DFA some of those guys and say, hey, you know, sorry, but we need to go to some of these younger guys, right? We're not winning. We're not in a competition window. So we're going to turn to some of the younger guys, right? So it's an interesting situation. You know, it's worth noting, I want to mention that Winston-Salem also opens up this weekend. We'll kind of dive into more Winston, I think, next week. That'll be more of our attention put towards Winston. We wanted to really focus on the two upper levels as they get kicked off and the Knights get going. But there's a lot to follow in this minor league system. And we are excited, Jeff and I, to just talk about it every week. We're gonna run through each minor league system. We're gonna talk about what's going good, what's going bad, prospects that are, you know, performing, prospects that are struggling a little bit more, and everything in between there. Jeff, any more thoughts? And then we'll call this one a wraps.
No, just that you know, all three North Carolina teams are home in the first two, at some point in the first 2 weeks of April, and I'm anxious to at least see each one once. Get up to Winston. Probably Kannapolis a couple of times. And of course, you know, Charlotte's here in my backyard. So it'll be a fun 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm jealous you get to see them. I thought Kannapolis started a week later, but Kannapolis also opens up on Friday. So that's Birmingham, Winston, and Kannapolis who all start their season this Friday. So that means this time next week, we are going to have plenty to talk about with all four affiliates playing ball. Minor league baseball's back. Major league baseball's back. It is a fun time. And we hope you continue to tune in to the Future Sox Roundup as Jeff and I will be talking all about it throughout the entire season. Thank you. And that's all for the Roundup.
Terrific. See you next week.